Been talking about dementia. It's really important to talk about things, isn't it? Just a conversation, just get it out there. This is another conversation we need to have. NHS bosses are warning that the number of people waiting for treatment in England could more than double to 10 million by the end of this year. There are calls for emergency funding and longer term spending. Noel Dixon from the NHS Confederation says the public need to have a grown-up conversation about what will be possible as they deal with the waiting list.
We went into the pandemic with well over 4 million people waiting. It looks like by autumn time we'll have perhaps 8.6 million, quite a significant number waiting, and then by the end of the year it may be as high as 10 million. Now, some of that, of course, could be affected. It depends on the rate at which the NHS can pick up. It also depends on the government renewing its deal with the private sector, which we very much urge them to do. We frankly need all the capacity we can get. And I suppose our message is a slightly wider one, that we do absolutely need to start tackling what is a mammoth waiting list problem. But we've also got other services, for example, services in the community and primary care, and of course, social care, we've heard a lot of, that are under enormous amounts of strain. And the ability to build things back up again is severely constrained by the fact that we're also treating COVID patients. It's great that people are recognizing what health and care staff have done during this pandemic, but we need to have realism about how quickly we can build these services back up again.
The Department of Health has said it will continue to provide the resources the NHS needs. Helen Buckingham is Director of Strategy and Operations at the Nuffield Trust and joins me this morning. A very good morning to you, Helen. Is this something we're going to just have to get used to for a little while to come?
Good morning, Sadie. And yes, I'm afraid it is. I think the problems and the challenges that the NHS Confederation have outlined this morning are ones that we very much recognise. And it's not because people in the NHS don't want to see patients treated, of course they do. But what they're working through is how they can restart services that have been suspended in recent months and keep patients safe while they do that. So there are some real challenges about making sure that we've got the right testing for patients before they're treated, so that we're not accidentally bringing more infection into the hospitals, because we can see that's been a real problem in recent weeks. To make sure that we've got the appropriate PPE for both staff and patients. And actually, you know, the use of PPE and the testing for patients, that takes more time. We know that our hospitals are not particularly designed to enable the kind of infection control that we need to see around COVID. That's not they can't do infection control at all. Of course they can. But in order to be able to maintain social distancing properly, they cannot get as many people in the building as they currently do. So there are all sorts of issues that the NHS is really grappling with at the moment that genuinely make it harder for them to be able to treat as many people as they have in the past. And it's not just about money. I mean, money in the long term might be a big issue, but actually it's a real practicality for the here and now.
It is, isn't it? It must be incredibly frustrating. I was in hospital quite recently and the wards weren't full. The ward wasn't full. The rooms that I was on, the floor, they weren't full at all. Yeah. It was for an emergency. So I was taken in and the only two other people there were emergencies. So there were and the nurses were actually saying, you know, we're looking after like eight patients rather than 24. And actually the day goes much longer because you're not running around like you normally do. But of course, the reason for that being is that half the hospital is looking after COVID and they're nervous about bringing anyone in, but they're actually, I mean, they are there. The nurses and doctors were there. I had amazing care and really quickly because they had no one else to look after. I mean, all the scans I had needed were done immediately, whereas I'm used to waiting outside a scan place for 40 minutes until you're taken in when you're on a ward. So it is there, isn't it? It's just finding that way through to it.
Yes. And really what the NHS will do is make sure that they, as they start bringing services back, is that they prioritise people who are in the most urgent need. Because, you know, one of the things that we recognise that if people have been waiting for a planned surgery for some time, their needs can change. And it will be that some people will have more urgent needs than others, and they will be prioritised, which, you know, at one level is reassuring if you're one of those people. But clearly it becomes much harder if you're one of the people whose needs are judged to be in this context, less urgent. That doesn't mean that you're not important as a person, but, you know, there are some really difficult decisions that are going to have to be made here.
Could this change the NHS forever, do you think?
And forever is an awfully long time. I think there are many things that people in the NHS have done over the last few months that actually are very positive and that have had good, you know, created a good experience for both staff and patients. So quite a lot of the move to what we call digital consultations, you know, people being seen remotely through, you know, Zoom or Teams or things like that, or using their phones, actually there's been some real benefits for some people from that point of view. So those kind of things are things that we can all say, actually, do you know what, this is better, are very much, we hope they continue. But what we do need to do is make sure that we don't continue for any longer than we have to doing the things that are less good for patients and staff. But I think, you know, we are going to see the NHS delivering its care differently for quite some months to come, I'm afraid.
Helen Buckingham, thank you very much indeed, Director of Strategy and Operations at the Nuffield Trust. Peter Blackman is on the line. He was listening to that from South Wooden Ferrers Health and Social Care Group. Very good morning to you, Peter. What do you make of this estimation?
Good morning, Sadie. Yes, I thought that Helen just said it really, really well. I think that it's inevitable that we've had to concentrate on dealing with COVID-19 over recent weeks. It's inevitable that it's having a terrible impact. I think our priority must be to avoid a second spike, because that will be dreadful. And when I'm going round delivering medicines and tasks and things to people who are shielding and self-isolating, it's disappointing when we see what looks like people not adhering to the regulations and the distancing, etc., which is putting things at risk. So I think that's the first thing we can do. It's really difficult to estimate what the impact's going to be. I think everyone's saying that, you know, it could be 10 million, but who's to know? Unfortunately, it's all going to depend on how long it takes. So the first thing we can do and must do is do everything possible to get over this and get it under control as quickly as possible and keep it there. And that will minimise the long-term impact. So that's what I'd ask. It's inevitable that every hospital is in a different situation. Each one's got a different configuration, a different number of beds, a different number of people who've been in there with COVID-19, etc. I was pleased last week. I went to deliver some meds to someone and they weren't in. Found them in the following day and found that they'd actually been in Broomfield Hospital the day before, having a day surgery, urgent operation. So it's good to hear that our local hospitals are starting to get things going again. It's inevitable that they must prioritise, and it's the most urgent things that happen first, and that's inevitably awfully painful for the people who aren't in that priority one category. I do think the new ways of working really, really helpful. So, you know, we can increase efficiency, do as much as possible remotely. That's working really well where it's appropriate. So I think there are things that can be done to help. And I think we've obviously got to do things. One of the first things the government did was to wipe out all the historic debt of the hospitals. And that in itself is a bit of a help. And they've got to concentrate on getting through it first. But obviously this is going to be very high on the agenda for what happens next.
Peter, you're from the South Wooden Ferrers Health and Social Care Group. I mean, what have you heard from people who are waiting for routine operations, maybe a knee, maybe a new hip? What have you heard? Or maybe they're looking for treatment. What have you heard in your role?
Right, well, from the day lockdown started, our GPs and pharmacists asked us to help them to deliver support to the people who are shielding and isolated. And we've delivered about 1,100 tasks like that since the 23rd of March. So we're seeing people like that on a daily basis. And obviously, they're in pain, they're suffering, and they're waiting. But I think they understand, and they're hoping that everyone who's out there will do their bit to make sure that those people can get the treatment they desperately need as soon as possible. And that will be done by making sure that we all respect the restrictions and that we keep the NHS safe, we don't have a second spike, and the NHS can get back to doing everything as quickly as possible.
Peter Blackman, thank you very much indeed. So your thoughts on this? NHS bosses are warning that the number of people waiting for treatment in England could more than double to 10 million by the end of this year. And there are calls for emergency funding, longer term spending. Your thoughts? Are you waiting for a regular operation? Give me a call, 0800 111 4041. Don't stop me now, says Queen. Tonight.